couple of weeks ago, I found myself working through two books that I was supposed to be reading for pleasure. After a week of that futility, I took them back to the library, either half read or half unread, depending on if you're an optimist or a pessimist. And I thought about what to read next, and I thought of C.S. Lewis's great line, "The cure for bad literature is good literature." So I said, okay, I'm going to read a Lewis book. But Lewis is hard for me. His theology is terrific. It's great, but it's thick. And so what I do is I read a paragraph, then reread the paragraph and underline, and then at the end of the page, go back and reread my underlines. It might sound like reading for pleasure for you, but not to me. But I needed something. So I chose the book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. Yes, I know it is a fairy tale written for his goddaughter, but it also the scarcely disguised story of Jesus and the salvation through Jesus Christ. How many of you have read it? Great. If you haven't read it, pick it up, read it. If you've read it before, read it again. Make that your Advent devotional. Of course, we know the story. Four English children are transported into the magical world of Narnia, of talking animals and elves and a very cute fawn, Mr. Tumnus, and other great adventures. As the children arrive, though, Narnia is under the curse of the White Witch. She is the embodiment of evil. She has cast a spell over the land. It is always winter, but never Christmas. The gloom and cold of winter. The children arrive in Narnia in knee-deep snow, and a fearful population living in deep dread of the forever darkness over their heads. To the children's great surprise, they encounter Mr. Beaver, and he reports that winter is endless and it is joyless. Then signaling the children to stand closer around as they possibly could, so that their faces were actually tickled by his whiskers, it added in a low whisper, "They say Aslan is on the move. Perhaps he has already landed." And now a very curious thing happened. None of the children knew who Aslan was any more than you do. But the moment Beaver had spoken these words, each one of the children felt something jump on its inside. Of course, in the story, we'll come to know that Aslan is the great lion who at once is terrible and wonderful. He is wild, you know, not like a tame lion. Aslan is the Christ figure. He buys back the life of the children and of Narnia by sacrificing his own life. And then resurrected, Aslan defeats the embodiment of evil, the White Witch. And the children are enthroned in the kingdom of Narnia. But that's the end of the story, at least the end of this book. I want to settle for a few minutes on the spot where Mr. Beaver says, "Aslan is on the move." At the mere mention of his name, the long winter of Narnia starts to break. By sundown the next day, the curse is broken. Father Christmas appears and joyfully proclaims the glad and happy tidings. And he gives the inhabitants of Narnia good things to eat, and he gives the children presents. And as he gives them the presents, he said, "These are your presents, and they are tools and not toys. The time to use them is perhaps near at hand." The simple mention of the name Aslan, the Christ figure, begins to break evil's spell. The spirit of Aslan, and the people recognize the spirit is moving amongst them, begins a new and joyous time. Christmas comes. A thrill, a hope, a weary world rejoices. With the coming of Jesus Christ, the spell of evil has been broken forever. Winter can finally pass. Christmas is celebrated as the new time, the new day, the beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The baptizer declares, "The one who is more powerful than I is on the move. Prepare your hearts, Christmas is coming. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is in our midst. Christmas is coming, and now everything is different. It has been a long winter. It's hard to say with a straight face when it's 70 and sunny, and we haven't had winter yet. But it has been a long winter. A long winter of bombings. A long winter of church shootings. A long winter of bombings in a mosque. Evil has manifested itself around the world, in our nation, in our city. Every morning when I turn on Channel 11 News, it seems like they're saying to me, there's been a new shooting in our town overnight. It's been a long winter. Time and again, the chat survey we did last winter, the survey we did as a church, time and again, the answers were, we just don't feel joyful. We need an infusion of the Holy Spirit. And I don't need to dwell on that. But over the last several weeks, I have heard myself saying, you know, there's something going on around here. There's something happening around here. Now, I'm not as articulate as Mr. Beaver. So I'm going to use him and paraphrase Mr. Beaver here. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is on the move. And it gave me shivers when I wrote these words. The Spirit of Jesus is on the move in our midst. My hope is it gives you a feeling of hope and confidence that when the winter season of the Covenant Presbyterian Church is over, Christmas is coming and Christ is in our hands. Evil spell has been broken. Not only is Christ on the move, we're starting to recognize that. And not only are we recognizing, here comes the hard part of the sermon. Not only are we recognizing that Christ is on the move, evil recognizes that Christ is on the move in our midst, in our hearts. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, as the spell is breaking, the White Witch becomes more and more desperate and despairing and amps up things, trying to stop us, stop them from knowing that winter was over, that Aslan, Christ, is in their midst. It's the same thing in our world. As Christ is moving among us, evil amps it up. And we see it on the news. We see the evil witnessed in the discord of our social and religious and church order. We see evil personally attack us with disease and doubt of God in our lives, doubt in ourselves, emotional despair, the sins like shame and spiritual misgivings and distrust of each other. That's evil attacking us. The attack of evil in our lives is real. This is the hard part of the sermon. I'll get to the cheerleading in a minute. Evil is real. It is personal. It is hard to deal with. It is discouraging, and at times make us feel hopeless. As we thrive in Christ, evil amps up the struggle. Look at the time of Jesus in the desert and that battle in the desert. As we rejoice at the coming of Christ in our lives as an infant, as we rejoice in the coming of Christ every day in our hearts, as we rejoice that he will come again and make all things new, evil is terrified. And we'll try to make things worse and worse in our church, in our community, in our world, in our lives. But Jesus Christ is on the move. The time of Christ has come. In our world, in our nation, in our community, in our church, in each of us. Remember the first words of Jesus' earthly ministry. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Believe in the good news. Evil hates that. It desperately fights with every vile tool, especially when Christ is on the move. Now here comes the cheerleading. Christmas is coming. It has already come, and we have been given presents, not as toys, but as tools. And now the kingdom of God is at hand. Now is the time to use these tools. The first is, of course, and we already know them, we already celebrate them, I'm preaching to the choir. The first tool is the living presence of Jesus Christ in the Word of God, the Bible. Testament, promise, covenant that Jesus has made with us. The prophet Isaiah tells us the word, it tells us, thus says the Lord. The word that goes out of my mouth shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it, says the Lord. The word, the people who walked in darkness have now seen a great light. Those who walked in the land of deep darkness, light has now shined. For a child has been born to us, a son has been given to us, and all authority rests on him, on his shoulders. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And all authority shall grow continually. From this time and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. The Lord's word does not return to him empty. Another Christmas present that we've been given forever and for all time is the nourishing real presence of Jesus Christ in the Holy Communion, in our Eucharist. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. And whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim from this time onward the saving death and resurrection of our Lord. So we have the present of the Word of God in the Word, in the Bible. We have the present, the tool of the Word of God at the Eucharistic table. We have the present of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, in our hearts. How many of you here believe that Jesus Christ is in your heart? Now, there are times when I have like an atom of belief and know that Jesus Christ is in my heart. I didn't ask you if you have the living joy and zeal of Jesus Christ every minute of every day, because we don't. But we have the gift of Jesus, and I can feel that molecule, and sometimes I'm really weak, and that's when we know that the gift, another gift that we have, another indispensable tool that we have, is that we have each other. We have each other. I know Jesus Christ is in you. I promise you that. And that's a sacred word for me. Promise. I promise you Jesus Christ is in your heart. The joy of the living God is near each of us. And sometimes, all I can muster of that knowledge, and when I fear evil is winning, you come to my rescue. I borrow your faith. I depend on your faith. I depend on you as a church member. I depend on you as a brother and sister in Christ. We have that strength, that gift. And there are times when I am super Christian. Not often, but there are times, and you can depend on my faith to see you through. Winter is over. This is Colorado. Will eventually have cold and snow until May. But winter is over. Aslan is on the move. Jesus Christ is on the move. In our world, in our nation, in our community, in our church, in our very hearts. I feel like I should have a megaphone and be wearing a collegiate sweater today, because I am cheerleading, and I did that knowing that I'm cheerleading. But I'm in good company. In John 16:33, Jesus Christ himself is the cheerleader. He assures us, "All these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Eva's spell has been broken. Jesus Christ is on the move. We are starting to recognize, we're starting to see. And not only are we recognizing it, all those around us are recognizing it. Be of good cheer. Rejoice and be glad. sing out, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Let every heart prepare him room. No more let sin or sorrows grow. No more let evil think it's winning. It's not. It's been defeated. The curse is broken. He rules the world with truth and life. Truth and grace. With truth and the wonders of his love. And the wonders of his love. And the wonders of his love. Christ is on the move in our world. Christ is on the move in our part of the world. Christ is on the move in our hearts. Christ is on the move right here and now at the table.